Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Hello and welcome to Real Living Slovenia Spirita with Mary Lou Nemeček, and we are continuing a series. I told Alex to entitle the series Healing, but I think it has to do more with just being open to God's power for healing, for signs, for wonders, for miracles, for all kinds of things that perhaps go outside of our everyday understanding. And I think one of the greatest tragedies really for Christians today is that they are just not aware of the supernatural, and therefore they don't expect the supernatural. They don't expect the Lord of nature and the Lord of the universe to break in to the everyday material paradigms in power. And yet, I think really successful evangelism depends on signs and wonders. That's what Jesus did. That's what Paul did. That's what Peter did. And although we may have gone through a period of time in which we were Christianized more or less, and we had Christendom and we had Christian laws, and, you know, for the past 1600 years or so, we are very, very quickly back into the atheistic, materialistic, hedonistic society of Jesus's day. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're entirely right. But if you're thinking about the supernatural in today's society, they kind of think of more or less the wizards and that sort of magical stuff instead of what is the true, wonderful signs and wonders that are available today, just like they were when the church started. Because I always like to go back to Acts of the Apostles, because it always invigorates me, and I love to read about it, because as the church started, it was just expected that these signs and wonders would happen, and healings and so on and so forth, because that's what Jesus did, and he provided that to the apostles, and on down and down and down and down. And we forget that we're equipped, and Jesus will work through us. And we should expect that, as you say.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, okay? I've been listening to a lot of talks, but I think that that's one way that we can take advantage of this fantastic media that we find ourselves in our day, where everything is a little bit more immediate, and we don't have to wait to the next conference, and we don't have to even wait to get the book. Oftentimes we can go on YouTube, we can go online, and we can kind of get an idea of what is being talked about. And I think that in a certain way has a great way of just promoting excitement.
Promoting expectation, right?
Let me share with you something that this Patrick Rice of Encounter Ministries, he posted on Facebook, and you can see it. He's got small kids, right? He's got like an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old and he's got small children. And he's a young guy. I think he's maybe in his 30s. And he posted this on Facebook, and you can see it. And it was just blew me away, just as to the expectation of the supernatural. So his kid sister, who's like, I think, in high school and plays sports, has had some pretty severe knee pain and swelling for the past 2 years of her high school career. And, you know, I have had a daughter who had that kind of stuff, and it was very painful, and it's kind of discouraging. So what they did is he invited his little sister over to his house, sat her down in his living room, and had his kids pray over him. So we're not talking about high school kids. We're talking about an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, you know, that kind of thing. And on Facebook, it shows it's like so unbelievably powerful, because you see these little kids gathering around their auntie, who's very young, and at a certain point, Patrick says to, I think, to the boy, so what do you want to just pray a prayer to, you know, welcome the Lord? And the little kid, the little boy, just kind of bursts out with this beautiful prayer about how he wants God to bless his aunt and heal her and all that. And then he asks his other kid, a little beautiful little girl, blonde girl with glasses, and he says, so what about you? Are you getting anything? I love that he's asking these of his kids.
You know, and he's tuned in.
And she says, no, but my hands feel heavy. So he says, good, go ahead and put your hands on Auntie's knees and let's keep praying. So they pray and they have a brief prayer. It's not, you know, nothing too protracted. And then he asks his sister, so how's it going? How do you feel? She says, well, I feel like there's a dam open in my knees and that all the tension and all the pressure are leaving my knees like a waterfall, right? So then he says, good, well, how does the pain? When she sat down, the pain was 8 out of 10 because she had just come from practice. When she stands up, she has no pain, and she proceeds to jump up and down in the living room. And I tell you, somebody with bad knees, I can tell you that that may not look like anything, but she hadn't been able to do that for 2 years.
Wow.
Without pain. So then he takes his little 8-year-old little daughter out on the porch and interviews her and says, so what were you thinking? And she says, well, I didn't get any words, but my hands felt heavy. And so then, you know, and so he kind of gives the whole anatomy of how you don't need to be a PhD to understand these things. About all you need really is the childlike expectation. And he basically says, and then he says, why do you think this happened? And she says, because our God is a God of miracles and he loves us.
There you
That's
go.
That's coming from there a 6-year, from an 8-year-old. And,
yeah.
And the girl, the baby sister, the little kid sister is like hopping and jumping up and down. You can tell that they're probably in his parents, her parents' house. So the mom comes running up and says, wow, you're jumping. You haven't been able to do that without pain. So that's just a slice of life, I think, in what I think should be normative. You know?
Exactly.
Why shouldn't we have our children open to the supernatural like that? Obviously within certain guidelines, within certain security, etc. But I thought that was beautiful.
And that's wonderful that they were all together able to do that. But that's really, it's not necessary always to be with the person, because healings can happen from a distance. Because in John, Jesus healed the royal officer's son who was home. And mm-hmm. he said, you know, go home. Your son will live. You know, healings don't have to be right there with that person. And I bring that up because there's someone in my family who is very, very ill. And there's lots and lots of prayers going out, not just from me, but from others for his healing. And whether it's going to be a physical healing, because it is it's a very serious illness that he has. But, you know, the expectation is that there, whatever healing is necessary, Jesus is going to provide for this person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the feedback that we're getting from the family is that they, you know, you can kind of feel those prayers coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage people, not just in those instances with the little kids being right there, but even if you're not able to physically be with someone that you want to pray for healing, don't let the distance stop you from doing it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So it's interesting that we have these vistas open to us. I was sharing with somebody the other day about how I've kind of been in the, you know, in the environment of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal since I was first baptized in the Spirit in 1974. So I, as an old guard, a person of the old guard, I was around when Francis McNutt, for instance, who was like the first Catholic guy to really latch on to the idea of healing for everybody. Obviously, the saints who heal obviously have latched on to the idea that God can heal, right? But people like Francis McNutt and Sister Breach McKenna and Babsy Bleasdell and a lot of the people from the old guard of the old days of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of that expectation for healing. But I remember thinking, yeah, that's good for them, and I'm certainly going to pray and I'm going to have faith. but it's not really something that, you know, I'm interested in doing. I think now in our day here in 2018, I am a lot more open to it, and I'm actually a lot more interested in it because, as I was mentioning to you in a prior show, I read that I was actually able, that it's okay to ask for more anointing, and it's okay to ask for a deepening of the anointing, and that the Lord isn't going to tell you, hey, you already got enough, go away, you know, right, or you're hogging it or whatever, that it's okay to go back and say, more, please, Lord, more. And I actually first read about it in Damien Stain's book that you have read as well, called Lord, yes, Renew Your Wonders, right? Mm-hmm. There's that idea of asking the Lord for the anointing for the hour. And I think the anointing for the hour for our culture anyway in the West is signs and wonders, because the original purpose of signs and wonders was to point to the message of the gospel in a materialistic, hedonistic world. Well, hey, guess what? We're back there. We are back there in that first sort of pagan, hedonistic, materialistic society. And what was good then, I think, is also good now. The evangelization is, I would submit, a more powerful and more effective when you have disarmed someone with a word of knowledge that comes, that speaks straight into their life. So listen to this. I was listening to one of these guys, and they were talking about during one of these talks, and they were saying, yes, I went on vacation with my wife, and we went to California, and we went around and went in stores. So he was telling about various encounters with people in stores, et cetera. This is a young kid with his wife, okay? So we're not talking about like holy, you know, holy roller types, you know? And he said, then he, because he was in Southern California, there's a psychic fair. Oh, no, it wasn't with his wife, though. Hang on. He had gone home, and this was two friends of his were seminarians. And he said to them, let's go to this psychic fair and see, you know, see if we can evangelize. Now, obviously, if you're out there and you don't know that there's something wrong with the psychic fair, let me tell you, the church says there's something wrong with a psychic fair, because anytime you seek the occult, anytime you seek knowledge outside of divine revelation, outside of church teaching, outside of the wisdom of oral sacred tradition, anytime you seek to have secret knowledge of the future or secret knowledge of others, that is not of God. You are trying to take over God's prerogatives, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church speaks about that pretty clearly. Any kind of outreach to the occult. So that would include a psychic fair. That would include a fair where you go and you pay somebody at a booth to tell you about you, right?
Right.
Tell you some woo-woo fact that, quote, nobody would have known, right?
Yeah, those palm readers that are always at these festivals and so forth. Mm-hmm.
Psychic readers and palm readers and psychic healers, that kind of stuff. And so he said, let's go to this event. And so I thought it was interesting. The seminarians said that they got some advice from one of their, you know, spiritual directors to say, oh, don't go. Who knows what might jump on you from there? Because those obviously would be places in which demonic activity is probably heightened, right?
Right.
And I love his answer. He said, what is with us is much more powerful than anything that can jump on us. What jumps off us is much more powerful than anything that we can get. And then the idea was this idea of being protected, you know, of being covered by the blood, you know, covered by, and I think that's a concept a lot of people have a hard time understanding. They think that somehow we're all at the mercy of the devil. We are not at the mercy of the devil.
Absolutely.
And the devil is only given as much leeway as God allows for our sanctification. So if something's allowed in terms of a demonic interference or whatever, it's because the Lord is saying, go ahead, look at my boy or look at my girl. You know, they're going to overcome, or whatever is derived from this trial is going to be for their good, right?
Right.
So anyway, they go. The seminarians finally decide they're going to go. So the three of them crash this psychic fair. And They're basically like with booths, you know, like they're just walking around from booth to booth to booth. And at a certain point, they run into this couple, I think at the you know, food concession or whatever. And he said that the guy was a typical Southern California bro dude, you know, covered in tattoos with his hat on backwards, you know, kind of, you could just see the type. And he was saying something about, I forget what the facts are, but he was saying something about how he had just some heavy stuff in his life and he had some really bad stuff happen to him and he just didn't know what he was going to do. Oh, no, he had a really bad illness or he had something that was wrong with him. I forgot what it was. And he had his wife with him. Not his wife, his girlfriend with him. And so the guy says, well, you know, would you like us to pray with you? You know, we can ask the Lord for a word for you. And so, you know, they're at a psychic fair. He's used to that kind of thing, right? So he gets a word for the guy that speaks straight into his life. Now, forget, again, I should have gotten my facts a little bit straighter, but he comes up with this mind-blowing word of knowledge that meets the guy exactly where he is. And the guy is, oh, no, I know. The guy's on crutches. He's on crutches because he broke his ankle. And he broke his ankle because the night before he'd been to a rock conference and he got dropped in the mosh pit. And so the Patrick says, well, oh, I'm sorry that you're hurt. And he says, oh, no, bro, it was great. You know, like that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. It kind of gives you an idea of where this guy's at. Right. And so Patrick receives a word of knowledge for the guy. He says, would you like us to pray with you for healing? And he said, it's funny because the girlfriend chimes in and says, yeah, we're supposed to go to Cancun in 2 days. And he's on crutches. And I don't know what we're going to do, you know. So, you know the end of the story, right? Lo and behold, right. The Lord heals the guy from the broken ankle on the spot. He starts running around without his crutches, takes off all his stuff around his ankle. So, you know, at this point, I think that's par for the course for the Lord, right? And the girlfriend is crying, and so they pray with her. So anyway, and then after that, word of mouth, and so all these people in the psychic fair are coming up to these guys saying, hey, you know, the kind of healing that we're getting from the people here is never enough, and it's never the right kind, and I have to keep coming back and paying these people to intercede or to heal me. Mm-hmm. Oh, and what I forgot to say is when he goes up to the guy and the guy says, okay, fine, how much do you want? Because at the psychic fair, everybody receives, they pay for a psychic reading or you pay for healing touch or you pay, you know? And so Patrick's able to say, no, it's free, you know, God's love is free. It's free of charge. So then there's a line of people apparently. And finally, some guy comes up to him and says, guess what? You have been kicked out of the psychic fair. The organizers are not happy with you and you need to leave. So he says there were two organizers. One was a guy, one was a gal. The guy was like real just upset and offended and wanted to get rid of them. The gal instead said, oh, this is great. You all should come back next year and get a booth.
In charge.
So, several things about that story. One, there is more.
Yeah.
And you can pray with anybody, anywhere. Two, we should not be afraid of going outside of our comfort zone. And three, if we're meant to be a place, God will protect us. And so I think there's a way in which a lot of people want to just inhabit their Catholic bubble and just go to approved places and see approved people and not be challenged in any way by people who are not living in a righteous fashion, people who are living according to the world. But then my question would be, how on earth are we going to reach people in the world if we don't go out there? That's always been the problem that I've had with people try to inhabit a bubble, you know, try to inhabit a place of comfort as opposed to being challenged daily, perhaps, in what we're doing.
You know, and you said that you're asking for more. That is the same thing that Randy Clark said in his talk a week ago Friday, that, you know, why wouldn't we be asking for more? Why wouldn't we believe that God has more for us? I mean, that's all a part of it. And, you know, we forget to do that. We're so comfortable in our own skin and in our own lane that we just don't want to pass any cars or go faster or reach a different destination. We're just too comfortable. And he also brought up that, you know, being afraid to fail, and we have to get over that, because sometimes things will work out and sometimes they're not. You may not see what happens. Mm-hmm. But that should not stop us from going out, as you're saying, and seeing how we can help people in terms of using the gifts, and this one in particular, of healing.
Mm-hmm. And I think at last show, and this is the last thing we're going to talk about before we sign off for today, but the last show, I think we highlight the thing that really blew me away that Randy Clark highlighted for us was the close interconnection between all the gifts, specifically the gifts of revelation, revelatory gifts like prophecy and word of knowledge that activate faith. So I went home, I had a pain in my thumb, I believed that it was a word of knowledge for somebody, I went back, I talked about it. I said, I think there's somebody here with a pain in their left thumb. Three people stood up. Mm-hmm. And because their level of faith was called out, mm-hmm. because their illness had been called out, right? Mm-hmm. Their mm-hmm. faith level was up. My faith level was up. Mm-hmm. And they were healed. So there's a close connection between words of knowledge, faith, and then healing.
Exactly.
And so, as I always say, if you don't know about it, you don't know to expect it. Of course, God is sovereign. God will do anything he wants to, and he can. But in the end, do expect the unexpected. Expect the Lord to work outside the box. Do not constrain the Lord of the universe. Do not constrain his love. Do not constrain his power. We will continue discussing all these things in our next show. Thank you for joining us.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
I learned how many people we could help and how good you feel after you've helped others.
I know Lent is about giving, so I want to give.
These kids are talking about CRS Rice Bowl, a Lenten program known by generations of Catholic families. Children love it because they experience different cultures and gain a lasting impression of the people they are helping. You can bring CRS Rice Bowl into your home and experience the joy of seeing your children or grandchildren find new meaning in Lent. Visit crsricebowl.org to get started.
Rice Bowl inspired me to pray more and to pray for those who are less fortunate.
The Cincinnati Catholic Men's Conference is back. Tickets are on sale now for Saturday, April 28th at the Taft Theater at cincinnatimensconference.com or call 513-214-1534. The speaker conference roster is being hailed as one of the best lineups in the country. In rare appearances, come see Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN, the man motivator Father Larry Richards, former Moeller High School and University of Notre Dame head football coach Jerry Faust, and the big celebrity keynote, Baz Rutan, UFC world champion, MMA world champ, and movie star. The conference theme is What It Means to Be a True Christian Man in Today's Society. Don't miss the incredible day of motivation, spiritual benefit, and fellowship with men from all walks of life. Get tickets now at cincinnatimensconference.com or call 513-214-1534. That's cincinnatimensconference.com or 513-214-1534. Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.